like Sundays with Suzanne Radford
and Samina Shaheen.
Celebrating fathers today. It is Father's Day for many of us here in the city. Whether you're contacting your father back in your home country or whether he's here with you, all the better. Wonderful stuff. We're getting lovely SMSs coming in. We're asking you this morning, what's the best thing you've learned from your dad? And if you are a father, what's good about being a dad? What's the best thing about doing about being a father
that you want to share with our other friends as well? So
exactly,
wisdom.
Someone's SMS'd in here saying, best thing as a dad I enjoy is looking after my family, and I enjoy their happiness, especially when I buy something they need, especially for my daughter.
Right, daughters always need, right? And it never ends.
And again, that bond between fathers and daughters, yes. It's kind of special.
Very special, very deep. You know, the first interaction that a child, especially a girl, young lady, has with the opposite gender is with her father and her older siblings, if they're boys. And the way in which she perceives that role, the way in which she observes her father and the treatment of the father towards her mother, what should be appropriate, what's inappropriate, what's acceptable, what's not, how he expresses intimacy and affection, how often that is expressed, how he aids in fueling her self-esteem and her self-confidence, very much sets the stage, you know, and then the building, the foundation of what she expects in a partner later on in life. Mm. Yes.
It's a responsibility, isn't it?
It is.
It's a huge responsibility. And it must be similar as well, and the same then as well for boys, for sons, father and sons. You're learning from your parents the way they act out their roles, the way they are, that it's going to have an effect on you as a young adult going into your adult years.
It definitely is an active process, Suzanne. Before, we used to think that it's a one-way imitative observing process in which children internalize what they're taking in, and oftentimes they might imitate that. Well, we now know that's not the case. There's lots of negotiation going on. There's lots of evaluation of particular behaviors, especially now with the kids. You know, kids are savvy. Kids will ask questions. Mom, why should I not scream if you're screaming? You know, answering back like that, not necessarily following through as the way in which they've been told. So children will observe, girls will observe their fathers, sons will observe their fathers, and they'll say, I really think that when I grow up, I would like to take on that behavior as well. I would like that to be part of my character. Some would say, no, that's horrible. That's terrible. I never want to turn into my dad in regards to this particular habit that he may have. Some is conscious, Suzanne, some happens on an unconscious level. But nevertheless, we do find that certain behaviors do sneak their way into our habits. And we start thinking, oh my goodness, was that me or my mother? You know, I just said that exactly like my mom. Or even if you try to avoid it, it does unconsciously sneak its way through sometimes.
Absolutely. And I can remember my grandmother, she's passed now, but saying, oh, your brother walked through the door and it was your father. It was just like seeing your father walk through the door.
Isn't
and when
that
he
incredible?
Spoke, and I've heard my mother, when he speaks, it's just like your father.
Yeah.
And, you know, it is those things you see, of course you do, you see in your family, yourself or your grandparent.
Even
or your,
non-verbal communication, yeah, body language.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right?
Facial
expression.
The way they stand.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's true. The little habits, little ticks, whatever it may be.
Yes.
Yeah, it's true. It's there. You see it. You see that bloodline, it follows through.
Do you know, it's incredible, even sometimes the whole psychology is all about the nature-nurture debate. You know, to what extent are we a product of our biology or a product of our socialization? Even adopting cases in which children have been adopted and raised in another location by different parents, when they invite them back to be interviewed, we find that there are a remarkable number of behavioral traits that resemble that of their biological parents, even though they grew up with someone else that might be there. But in the same token, you might argue that there are children who are raised by their biological parents and they haven't the sort of imitated such behavior. So fascinating.
Mm. In your household, when it's Father's Day, do you also give a card to your grandfather?
Mm-hmm.
In my household, we always did. Grandmothers and grandfathers, they got a card or they got a gift, as well as the mother or the father, depending on the day. So again, you know, the role of grandparents, how that affects. And so you've got the grandparent and the relationship with the grandchild, but then that grandparent, their relationship as a father,
yes,
to their son, your father.
Very different. Mm. Very different role. So with the father, they say that was work. With you, it was work. With my grandchild, I want to have fun now, you know. So even though the fun is there, they spoil the grandchildren to a certain extent. You know, the rules and discipline and structure may not always be upheld, but it is through that supportive, emotional, more affectionate relationship that grandfathers, grandmothers are able to have really important exchanges with the grandchildren, lessons of life, share their own experiences with them. And many times research has proved that grandchildren are much more open to listening to those points of advice from their grandparents because it's not perceived as punitive or authoritarian, or it's not perceived as a lecture. Mm. It's received as quality time with my grandfather, driving in the car, walking by the beach, or with my grandmother. It's not something that I have to do. It's something I want to do.
Mm.
So it takes away the sort of strictness of parental guidance and grandparent guidance. It's so much softer.
Mm. And again, about expectations. So as the generations have moved on and the role of the father has changed in some cultures,
yes,
I wonder how the grandparents feel when they look at their son and how they're parenting and what they're doing with their kids and thinking, oh, well, we didn't do it like that, I wouldn't have done it that way, or whether with age you mellow anyway. And because, as you explained, the relationship between the grandfather and the grandchild is different, but still there's that relationship as father and son, father and daughter, and that's an interesting one. As you grow older, the roles change as well. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. You as the child, as you get older, it changes, you know, from them being the protector when it gets to a point where you start to become the protector.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and when you come from a different generation, sometimes it's difficult to understand the changes that are taking place with the new generation. In trying to understand and comprehend those changes, we really have to be careful not to interfere too much in the decision-making process of our children's familial structure, because although grandparents might want to say things like, you know, a grandfather saying to his son, "I can't believe you're changing diapers. What is that all about?" Or, "I never did that when I was..." It might cause friction, or it might cause a certain amount of conflict in a relationship between two parents who've already negotiated the fact that we agree and we understand that this is okay and this is where we've evolved into. You know, and so we've got to be careful. You can express your surprise in this change. You can express how it's changed and evolved, but not to kind of create problems or throw a, what's that expression, throw a spanner into the
works.
Yeah, we don't want to throw a spanner. Let's throw flowers into the works and no spanners. And so changing roles as well, I was looking at this research, National Institute of Child Health and Human Development, that wanted to ask the same question we asked earlier on the show, that what has contributed and influenced this change other than some of the things that we discussed. And they found that fathers tend to be more involved in caregiving or involved in the emotional and psychological development of their child when, to begin with, they worked fewer hours than other fathers. So the times in which they are at work and the times in which they're home have changed, and they're spending more hours at home. If they had positive psychological adjustment characteristics, so which means if the father themselves had high self-esteem, confidence, lower levels of depression or hostility, that they were and they looked up to positive role models themselves, if their father was more of a involved father than, let's say, other fathers in the neighborhood, as well as mothers who worked more hours than other mothers. So if the mother had a high an occupation or a career that required more of her time and attention, and as well as when children were boys. So the more boys that were within the family, men tend to, or fathers tend to, identify closer with the boys rather than with the girls.
The distant father creates generations of distant fathers based on my observations of families over the years. That's come through from one of our listeners. Do keep your SMSs coming in. We'd love to hear from you this morning. Tell us about your dad, what he means to you, the lessons you learned from your father. And if you are a dad, what's the best thing about being a dad? When we come back, we'll take a look at this article in The National. It's from last year by Martin Youssef. Scared of being a father, terrified of being a bad father.